All right, we got just about a minute here, and then we'll get started. I have a handout that is being passed around. Some of that information will correspond with the slideshow that I have up here, but those are really kind of tips and takeaways for the end of the session when we're winding down. What we're going to see on the slides here were put together by my editor, and his contact information is the second entry on that handout there. He's available for you to reach out when you want to start getting more specific about your YouTube channel. He'll be able to provide you with a list of the equipment that we've purchased, how you can secure that, and any other kind of help that he could do if you want to take your YouTube channel that might already be up and running up to the next level. He can help you with that. These slides are also available. They are on Canva, but I've downloaded them into a PDF. The PDF is kind of large. It's like 150 megabytes, which is big, but I've uploaded it to my Google Drive. So that email that you have there, if you want to reach out to me and say, hey, I'd like to get the slides, more than happy to send those to you. I'll just send you the link, and you'll be able to download it. Anytime anybody sends you a cloud storage link, make sure that you download it, because if they delete it off of their storage or something happens and they don't pay for the cloud storage or whatever, you lose access to that. But I'm more than happy to teach you what I've learned, and I'm excited to be able to do that. We'll go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. And I also want to make sure that we have time for your questions. For whatever specific reason you might be here, I want to be able to, come alongside you and help you along through the YouTube landscape. Let's go to the Lord together. Father, we love you, and this is for you. We thank you for the clear gospel message and why that becomes so important. I pray for each one here, whatever you are doing in their lives, may we collectively allow you to work, and we will follow behind you. In Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen. So my name is Pastor Jesse Martinez. I come from the great free state of Florida. Amen. Everyone says, how do you like the weather here? And I say, well, we've been living this for years. I know that there's like a heat wave going on and things like that. But I pastor at Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, and I consider it a great honor to be asked by the Grace Conference team to do a workshop. And there's a lot of different things that we could have discussed today, but I want to discuss YouTube. Really, the message this morning set up this workshop. How many of you are pastors or teachers in your church? Would you just raise your hand? Okay, that's what I figured. Quite a lot of you. What Pastor Mark was saying in the message is very, it proves itself out as true. I can't tell you how many times people will come to me and start saying things that I know they have heard from somebody else. These are not original ideas, but they find it on YouTube, okay? And I'm telling you, you really have one of two options here. You can either be against the whole thing, and you can do that. There are websites like sermonaudio.com where you can utilize that. The thing with Sermon Audio that is a little bit of a tough pill to swallow is it's $59 a month, and a lot of people don't know naturally how to get there, but Sermon Audio is putting things together. I mean, they are coming along. We pay for Sermon Audio as a backup, because with YouTube and all the other Google-owned companies, it's very easy to violate a terms of service and get copyright strikes, and then your channel's gone. And we're able to use YouTube as we're able to use it. But your people find stuff on YouTube, and you can either say, I'm not going to do anything with that. We got to mark and avoid it. Or you can recognize that it is a incredibly powerful tool for the gospel. And I say that specifically for the gospel. My goal today is to either stimulate your thoughts or maybe provoke you to think differently about how you can utilize this tool. I cannot tell you how many hundreds of people have come to faith in Christ through our channel. I thought about putting together some emails of people that would go to some of our more popular videos like Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. I bet you we could all collectively repeat the exact title and thumbnail that every one of these false teachers uses for that set of verses. Oh, most Christians are going to be in hell, you know, stuff like that. And your church people see that, they watch it, and they just blindly trust that because this guy has a curated studio and has great audio and great visual that they're trustworthy. And then everything that comes out of that person's mouth contradicts the word of God. Okay, and then they hear you preach a clear message and they naturally have questions. And YouTube is an excellent place to broadcast yourself. That's actually the two-word slogan that YouTube ran under when it was brought into existence in the early 2000s, broadcast yourself. And now there's millions of hours of content, hundreds of thousands of channels, a lot of competition. You can now buy ad space. So you're dealing with ministries that'll spend $3,000-$4,000 a video to make sure that YouTube gets them in their algorithm. And you're competing with these things. But I say specifically, it's a great opportunity for you as a tool for the gospel because that's what people are looking for. Okay, when people go to YouTube and they type in how to get to heaven, some of the top videos they'll get are from the big names like MacArthur and Piper and Sproul, who has passed on. And these videos have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views. If you click on it and you get into the comment section, you find out that people still don't know they're going to heaven. And that really is the main issue. And so whatever you're planning to do with the YouTube ministry, I want you to have that as the goal. How can I get more people under the sounds of the clear gospel? Because that's what's really important. At least the way that I teach through YouTube and how channels work, I really don't have an interest in building up an audience for myself and people who just want to be there because, well, Jesse has a thought, so let's hear what he has to say. I want to train people on the sufficiency of God's word. I was just talking with a gentleman here before we started. I don't know how many of you have noticed, but recently Hollywood has really taken it upon themselves to start going for Christian-themed content. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who is in an unclear church. They're in a church that is heavy on worship, heavy on, I call it cotton candy, but this motivational speaking type approach. That's their first layer of their introduction to the Bible. Then they go home and they have Amazon Prime and they have all these other streaming services and they see all these different shows that they can watch and they watch those shows thinking that, well, now that I'm a Christian, I should be consuming Christian media like this. And then the next thing you know, they have two layers of false doctrine before they ever get to the clear word of God. You see how that could be a problem? You who know the gospel are able to repeat the gospel and have a current gen iPhone or Android phone, you have everything that you need to be able to at least put something out there to combat all of this other stuff that's going on in the front and center. I tell people all the time that your video capabilities today are extraordinary. If you have an iPhone, anything past an iPhone 12, you have probably some of the best video technology that you can carry around in your pocket. But the most important thing is audio. I mean, someone will watch a video in 240p where we're watching like pixels bounce around on the screen. But if the audio is clear, they're gonna consume that content. We have to remember too that some people, when they're watching a YouTube video, they lock their phone or they don't even watch the video. And especially in our space, if you're doing a one camera shot sermon, we're kind of foolish to think that someone's going to be consuming it, every minute of that 50-minute service, they're looking at you. It's why it's important that, we invest in audio and audio capabilities and speaking clearly. But having said all that as kind of like a way of introduction, I want to make sure that you understand the significance of what we're studying today is for the furtherance of the gospel. I've created two YouTube channels, the Yankee Arnold Ministries channel and Bible Line. And we did not spend money. We did not do anything significant that would be worth, like, here's my secrets and tips and stuff. The number one takeaway, and I want you to write this down or just be aware of it, is consistency. Whatever you set out to do, go and do it. That's the biggest thing. I mean, that is with everything in life. If you are consistent with car maintenance, your car is going to last longer. As soon as you stop changing the oil, you're going to run into problems. You can be consistent for, you own the car for 10 years, you're consistent for 9, and that last year will be difficult because you stopped doing the things that you should have done. Whatever you're seeking to accomplish, set the goal early and then keep the goal. And don't bite off more than you can chew. You can always add later. It might be naive to say, well, I'm going to post 3 times a week. There's a lot there. What you're really saying is, it's like when you go to college, for every credit hour, you should have at least 1 to 2 hours of study. So if you're taking a 1 credit hour class, you might have 1 hour of in-class time, but you need to add the 1 or 2 hours outside. So now you're looking at a 3-hour commitment. This is the difference between part-time and full-time with students. Content's not just going to come to your mind and all of a sudden you're posting 3 times a week every week for the rest of your life, which is what is going to be successful on YouTube. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. But you want to make sure that you have the ability to be consistent. So, well, I can only post once a month. Then you make sure whatever you set out to do, that you can do it. And this is where I think we should, you know, prayerfully consider those goals. All right, let's take a look on the screen here. We're going to look at details, consistency, design, and content. Details. This section discusses every detail that goes into the creation and description of a YouTube video. You got to bear with me. My voice is going out. I apologize, guys. We'll just, hopefully I can regain strength. I appreciate you pray for me. This is probably one of the things that we've seen the most with copying. And what I mean by that is you're not copying somebody's subject material, but their editing style, how they cut between one camera and another. Those things are things that you can replicate right into your content. And you don't have to have completely curated content right off the bat. The most important content that we possess is the gospel. And it's one of the things that I put in the handout, and we'll cover that later, but I think it's great, whatever you do after you leave here today, whatever you take away from this, I would say record a 5-minute video on the gospel and let that be something that sits on your YouTube channel and take time to do that. You know, get in a place that's well lit and reach out to your church. Anybody know how to do audio? Anybody know how to do video or lighting? Doesn't have to be on your church property, but I think that alone is content that is worth replicating. Because again, that's the most important thing. But you can go on YouTube, Skillshare, these other places, and you can see where a lot of people, they've offered you information. Trent, our editor, when we hired him as the youth director and the media coordinator as well. But we both were like, I don't know what this really looks like, so you're going to have to figure it out. So he just consumed content on YouTube. Editing skills, how to go from a 1-camera setup to a 3-camera setup. And slowly we got there, but he did that by copying others. There would be transitions, nifty things where something comes in from the left side of the screen and then sits in the middle or whatever. There's a lot of people that have that kind of content out there for free. All you have to do is download it into a video editor, a video editing software like Adobe Premiere Pro or DaVinci, and you just plug and play. All you have to do is change the color scheme and change the words that you're putting in there. And you can repeat that pretty easily. I don't think most of you in here are going to be doing editing work. You're probably behind the content creation. You're leading the creative direction. But I really think it's important, whoever you do add on as who's the person who's going to edit your content, that they have that freedom to copy. I don't think it's reasonable to expect the editor to have every kind of thought be original. They need to see what a palette looks like before they move on. So here's some example edits. So this is our logo here on the far right, and you can see we basically took that from a template, and we just modified it to what fit our needs. This right here is text that has a darkened background so that it adds emphasis to the foreground. That is literally something that Trent downloaded from a free Skillshare class and put right into his Adobe Pro format. And all he did was change sample text to "For God So Loved the World." Things like utilizing a lower third. It didn't come in on here, but this kind of flies in off screen slowly and builds. That's all things that you don't have to keyframe each one of those. There's a pack that you can get for free and then just change the titles. Text ideas, things like that. You can take a look at that. But do not worry about making a movie, but do what you can. Small cuts, a simple intro, little pop-ups, and other simple edits can go a long way. Your craft will enhance over time. When you have a video placed in YouTube for upload, they give you a slew of options to enhance the SEO. And I want you to write that down, SEO. It stands for Search Engine Optimization of your video. Take advantage of every opportunity. What is search engine optimization? What that is making your video as friendly for search engines as possible. So I want you to imagine your video is like one of those colored balls in a ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese, okay? Essentially, what you're doing is you're taking that little ball and throwing it into a sea of millions of those things and then asking people to find it. You want to make that little ball stand out. Okay, so search engine optimization takes your content and it optimizes it for a key audience. And I'm going to show you some examples of that. Some of those things are the title of your video, what's in the description box of your video, the tags of your video, and the thumbnail. The thumbnail is the first thing that people see. I don't know how many of y'all have experienced this where people do thumbnails that really mislead you. Anyone used AI recently? Let me tell you something crazy. I was at my mother-in-law's house and she loves YouTube. Probably too much. She's retired now. But she's scrolling through her feed and I see some crazy video that made it look like the Dome of the Rock was on fire. I said, "What's that?" She said, "Oh, you didn't see that?" I said, "No, because nothing like that has happened." But she clicked into the video, and it was clever AI. I think it was Anthropic's AI that made it appear like the Dome of the Rock was on fire. And I said, "You know that this is artificial intelligence. Like, this didn't happen." She goes, "Oh, I just thought I hadn't heard about it yet." Yeah. I mean, so the thumbnail of that video led you to believe that something had actually happened in real life. Well, the way that you create a thumbnail for your video is going to lead your viewer into a certain expectation. And it is okay to say something shocking, not derogatory, but to say something shocking in the form of a quote to bring people in. Here's some examples of that. So here's a title up here in this box, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, explained. Okay, that word explained is what we call evergreen content. That word will always track well. How many times do people go to YouTube looking for an explanation on something or a how-to? So those kind of words, you want to make sure that they're in the forefront of your mind when you're posting a video. For example, I'll use Pastor Mark as an example. That message that he did today is on a very controversial verse, Ephesians 2:10. A lot of Calvinists will agree on 8, will agree on 9. They get to 10 and they think they got you. So most people will go and watch a video on Ephesians 2:10 from a Calvinistic perspective and require more explanation. Pastor Mark could take that video that he did today in the current format and post it, Ephesians 2:10 explained. And then put something after that that would make it seem like he might be coming from a Calvinistic position. Am I ordained to good works? Or just ordained to good works? Ephesians 2:10 explained. YouTube will make sure that they put that content first because they can sell ads on a video like that. That's going to get people in and keep them there, especially in a sermon today that was over half an hour. YouTube can sell a lot of content on that. And likely, viewers that are going for that content, they're going to stay around. So here's what Trent did. He put this little bar here. This is a character on your keyboard. I have a MacBook, so it's right above the return key. You have to use the shift button. But this is actually strategic. This kind of tells YouTube, I want this to be promoted as one thing, and I want this to be promoted as another. Okay, so he puts the bar there and he said, Lord, Lord, lawlessness, I never knew you. Now, if you know the verse in the King James Version, what word is here instead? Iniquity. How many people are running around using the word iniquity today? Okay. He put lawlessness there because he did research on the competition and almost all of them, people who use Matthew 7, 21, 23 and have millions of views, use lawless as either a tag on their video or it's in the description. So we say if we can't beat them on that way, I'm not going to try and get the word iniquity to come back into popular use. I'm going to use what's already tracking well. This is one of the most popular videos on our channel. I think for the content alone, but also the way that it's titled. Look at the thumbnail. I look shocked. I don't like doing stuff like this. This is performative, you know, but Trent, he has a point. And also, it has a quote directly there. Does God say, I never knew you to free grace? Now, I never say that in the video, nor is that in the title, nor is it in the tags, but it draws people in. What's interesting about that thumbnail? Well, now we've listed a position, free grace. I don't like titles. Titles put you in buckets and stuff. If you're going to put me in a bucket of the Word of God. Amen? Whatever the Bible says, that's where I'm at. But this maybe brings a free grace critique and goes, finally, somebody who's going to put the free grace guys in their place. And they'll watch the video. And people click through to your video a little more often. And also, it's good to have a person in the thumbnail, likely the person who's going to be in the video. I'm not uncomfortable with it, but I don't like it because I feel like it's a little theatrical, but it makes sense. And that is communicating concern. That brings them into the video. And if you watch the video, I mean, it's solid biblical truth. But the whole point is I got somebody to sit down and have an opportunity to hear what I have to say. This might be hard to see, but here's the description box. Now, most people don't see the description box. And that's because YouTube wants you to see the comment section, all right? Because that's where most interaction happens, which is also a really good proof text for audio. Because if somebody's watching your video, they're going to go to the comment section. They're still listening to what you're saying. So you want to make sure you have good audio. But anyway, the description, they can click on the description and see a bunch of information that you want them to see. So, for example, we put a little description there, continuing our series on often misinterpreted verses. You've also now just told your audience there's more like this. Come stick around where we are. We go to links that stay the same. Our gospel video, How to Have Eternal Life. We want them to subscribe, like. At the time, we had a Twitter account. We don't anymore. They can comment to ask a question. They can share. Those are all what you call calls to action. You're asking the people that are consuming your content to be a part of the content, not just merely, you know, sitting and listening. Send your questions in, Bibeline Ministries. Here's the one that I like the most. We put other clear ministries that they can get hooked into. I'm not going to put Pastor Kakuza on the spot, but he knows there's a lot of people who come to his church and he's talking to them and they go, have you ever heard of Bible Line with Jesse? Yeah. And there's people that come to my church and say, yeah, you know, I was on the internet and I heard a video from this guy named, they never really get your name right. most people say like Kakuzi or something like that, but they say like Kakuza. And I'm like, yeah, I know exactly who that is. Well, I make sure that if somebody listens to my content and reads the description, they can see other clear channels and be able to get into what is called, it's in a negative sense, an echo chamber. That it is an opportunity for us to encourage one another through the same thing, through the gospel, through this platform on YouTube. Now, this down here, these are tags. Hashtag is a search command. So hashtag Matthew 7. What that does is when you put this on the internet, this is all searchable. So if you were to go on your phone right now and go to Google and type in hashtag Matthew 7, you're going to see a lot of different content that because you're telling Google, find me everything that uses this. And you notice there's a lot more that we can specify. Lawlessness, Bible Line, free grace, lordship, salvation, Calvinism. I bet you if you go to YouTube, if you go to Google right now and put Bible Line, Matthew 7 explained, this will come up. That's search engine optimization. So you want to make sure that you're not just putting another colored ball into the pit of colored balls. You want to make sure that it's something specific that'll be shiny and catch people's attention, because that's what we want. We want people to get saved through the content that we're producing. Here are some more tags. The tag should stay on topic with the video. They are one of the most important details to get right. So notice here, he's got some tags that are not specifically in the video. For example, I don't use the phrase verse explanation, but that is what I'm doing, right? Now, it would be clickbait, or what I would say, you're going to run the risk of less natural algorithmic approach if I put in here, I don't know, American Idol. Is that a catchy tag? Yes, because people are on YouTube searching American Idol content. Do I want someone who's looking for American Idol content to find my content? In a way, yes. But they're going to see it and they're not going to interact with it. So YouTube's going to go, this is miscategorized. So we're going to push this down. Less likely for this to come up what we would call organically with the algorithm just engaging in it. We put heretical teachings in there. John MacArthur. That's a reason. I mean, we put his name in there specifically because we are addressing some of the things that he wrote about this verse. But that brings people in. One of the things we started to notice as we were doing this more specific targeted approach, people would say, I found this video after I watched a John MacArthur sermon. YouTube's now drawing a connection here. They're saying people that watch this kind of content on this very popular MacArthur channel, they're probably going to like this content because we've got more people crossing over into it. So now your video is naturally being suggested and you haven't spent a dime. And all of a sudden things are working together to make sure that you at least have a seat at the table, and all you're doing is being specific with the things that you're putting there. And this is why I say if you commit to posting 3 times a week, you got to have all this research for every video that you do. And I don't want that to be overwhelming, but I want it to be like a statement of fact, because what happens is people come to something like this, they get excited, they start, and then they don't know how much they've committed to, and then the channel goes away, and that could be the worst thing. Because then people will look at your channel, you might have gotten 20 or 30 subscribers, and that's like 20 or 30 people coming into your church, and then they come in on Sunday and there's no pastor. And, you know, you're supposed to be having service at that time. Thumbnails. Number one, you want it to be different than the title, just a little bit. Remember, the title was Matthew 7:21-23 explained, Lord, Lord. That's almost exactly what the thumbnail is, but then we added a little piece there on the bottom, which is different. You want it to be eye-catching. Less is more, right? You don't want a thumbnail that looks like a confetti cannon just went all over it. And all of a sudden you're like, I don't know what's text. I don't know what they want me to see. Faces are good. You want to contrast layers, and I don't really have tips for that, but you can see there's kind of like a ring around me. That is a picture that is Photoshopped onto a background that creates pop. YouTube likes that. Consistency. Let's move on to the next one here, and I appreciate you reading for me. This section discusses a variety of ways to be consistent and more effective in uploading YouTube videos. We're going to talk upload schedule, topics and diversity, and what do we do about clickbait. So an upload schedule. Uploading videos to the channel on a consistent basis is proven to generate more traction and grow a channel faster. Upload schedule should have the algorithm in mind, which means YouTube catches on your consistent uploads. So basically, this is what this means. YouTube can count on you. Let's say you post Fridays at 12. That's what ours is. Fridays at noon. That's when most people are either on their lunch break and they're watching other content, or most other people like you upload at that time. YouTube is saying at 12 o'clock, I can make money off of this guy. I can run 6 ads on his hour-long video, and I'm going to make sure that I naturally push people who already have common video interests onto his channel. And that's proven to work. Similar to TV shows, viewers will notice the consistent upload schedule. Determine how many videos a week. Bible Line, we do 2 videos a week. That's 2 pre-recorded videos. We do a Friday, and we also have a video on Tuesday. You want to determine the time of day for those uploads. We post at 12 noon Eastern Standard. And we want to maintain this unless you can do more uploads. Now, this is a delicate balance. Trent and I have had, early on, we had disagreements about this because while I could do more posting, I wasn't going to be able to do that forever. How many of you are pastors? Raise your hand. Okay, you have to consider that this is not in replacement of your people. Sometimes I have a love-hate relationship with YouTube. Because I see how profitable it is, but I also see how dangerous it is. Mm-hmm. I've had people come to faith in Christ through my YouTube videos, and then they hear me preach on sin or something specific that they're in, and I'm getting emails going, am I lost? That's not normal, folks. And you start to find out that people are really just, like Pastor Mark said, adding, they're heaping to themselves teachers, and you just become one of them, and they've made their Franken-pastor. Don't let this replace the work that you're doing in person, but it can definitely be something that adds to it that can be helpful. I'm discipling a young, or he's not a young man, he's 4 years older than me. I'm discipling a man in our church now who got saved, trusted Christ as his Savior, and was searching on water baptism. Well, we have about 6 videos covering different verses on water baptism. So he found our channel, subscribed, and he watched almost all of our content, all of our posted content, over the course of like 3 or 4 weeks. So the first time I met the guy, he knew almost everything that I had to say, or at least had heard it. And I don't know if he could recall it. What's unique about him is that he allowed that to be something to help him understand the Bible and trust in the veracity of the Bible, the authority of the Bible, not just, hey, we're going to listen to Jesse because we think he's right. He's in our camp. So you want to make sure your content is pointing people to the truth, not necessarily just to you, right? Be followers of me as I follow Christ, is what Paul says. All right, so let's talk more on that consistency, topics and diversity. The channel should not remain too monotone, meaning it should not have some diversity in topic and conversation depending on the purpose of the channel. I'm sorry, it says it should have some diversity. So here's something to consider when you're going to start a YouTube channel. You should have at least 2 different genres. One of the easier ones to do is like a react, okay, where you play a popular clip. For example, people are doing this with the Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz discussion. How many of you saw that recently on Genesis 12:3? Guys, if you know your Bible prophecy and you know the significance of Israel, you can very easily let that video play for a little bit, pause, and start giving proper critique. Now, you're not out here setting fire to Ted Cruz, setting fire to Tucker Carlson. But you are taking something that people are naturally looking for, and you're offering them a perspective. And that's content that I would say is easier to do. The other content is the content you're already doing, which is your sermons. You don't even have to post your full sermon. You can post a clip from it. You can take a 50-minute message and produce 5-10-minute videos. That's over a month's worth of good content that you'd be able to put on your YouTube channel. That's consistent, and it's a different style. So if you add react content, like let's say you're going to post every Friday, the first and third Friday, you're doing a react video. The second and fourth Friday, you're doing a sermon. That's good balance. And that allows your audience to get a little bit better perspective of who you are and what kind of content you're doing, but it makes you reliable. I know at 12 o'clock, I'm going to get something from this channel. Or at least when I get home on Fridays, there'll be something to post. So here's an example of the different topics that we've done and we've found success. Our genre is, there's a lot, but we really thrive off of question and answer. People have questions, we have answers. And so one of those here is a question and answer ministry. Like this one here is a response to an email that somebody sent. So I read the email, I go over what the Bible says, and then I compare the two views. And it sets the scripture as a standard. Reactions. Ray Comfort. How many of y'all have heard of Ray Comfort? Very uncomfortable guy. Some of you got that. But he goes on the streets and he does a lot of street evangelism. One of the things he just falters on is turning from your sin to be saved. And he'll walk people right up to the cross and then turn them back to themselves. Well, we wanted to find out, is there anything older that we could show people that this has always been his opinion? Well, we found a video that was done back in the 90s where he basically talked about fruit inspection. We did a 5-part video on that sermon, going through it and showing people what he was saying, comparing it to the context and to what the Word of God says. So those are reactions. We've done tons of these, and these are probably the most popular on our channel. Mailbags, which is kind of like a rapid question and answer where I answer 2 or 3 different ones in one video. And then fine print, where we look at statements of faith. And we train people to see, when you see a statement like this, you need to ask more questions. Posting diverse content on a consistent basis gives your viewers a fresh perspective, and it allows your channel to be less repetitive. It also helps creating content to be less of a drag, because you can focus on different things. So what about clickbait? Someone would look at this and say that this is clickbait. Clickbait should be measured. One should never lie for the sole purpose of getting views. If you find yourself outright saying something that you are not going to cover in the video, you might have gained a viewer, but you did not gain a subscriber. Someone's not going to come back. And YouTube notices that. If you're only good for 2 weeks, they're not going to sell ads on your profile in that 3rd and 4th week. The viewers will pick up on this, and it can often weaken retention. You can create snazzy thumbnails with words that pull and still remain on the topic at hand. Remember, the thumbnail should coincide with the topic and title, yet it is the first thing people will see. So let's talk about design. This section discusses the creative elements that go into creating content for YouTube. And just as a way of reminder, this will be available to you. So I don't want you to feel overwhelmed with how much we're covering. I can email this to you, and you can spend more time on it. Remember, the thumbnail picture is the first thing that people will see. And this is where artificial intelligence may work to your benefit. I don't have an exact picture to show you, but we redid our Am I Going to Heaven video, our 5-minute gospel presentation. And we were going back and forth whether my face should be in the video or we should have some type of artwork. Well, nowadays, you can go on to ChatGPT, Anthropic, on a basic, all you have to do is create an account, and you can get some pretty good-looking art developed, which has no use limits. Meaning you don't have to buy it. It's free of copyright. So we looked at some content, and we decided, based on the research that we did, it would be better on a video like that if there was something profound that brought people in that may have communicated a thought instead of people seeing me and maybe never knowing who I am. You know, that would work for our church people. Like, hey, there's Jesse, click. But some guy in Canada, they're like, who is this guy? And what is he, you know, I'm just going to move to the next person. So that's something you want to consider. So here's an example. You've got a kind of questioning face here. You've got a straightforward face there. You have a disappointed face there. And you can see, do these parables cancel eternal security? That's somewhat of a clickbait title. It's a little aggressive. It may seem like maybe they do. Well, you want to find out? Watch the video. That's what you're telling the viewer. John MacArthur, the blood of Christ does not save us. I mean, he got in trouble with this back in the 80s. I don't know how many of y'all remember that, but he lost a ton of radio shows. Well, somebody sent me that clip. I had never seen it before. I was born in 1990, just for perspective. So I didn't know any of that. Did a reaction on it. That video jumped 15, 20,000 views in the first 48 hours. It was interesting. And you say, how did that happen? Well, I really think because of this statement right here. Someone's scrolling YouTube and they see their beloved pastor saying this. They're going, I got to hear that. Is that true? And then the crazy thing is, folks, that's exactly what he said, which is interesting. So people stuck around for it. Are they still saved if they turn from Christ to Satan? Not very often do you hear it phrased that way, Christ to Satan. But those are two contrasting words in people's minds. So you put them together and now you've created interest. What does that mean? Let's take a look at it. Inside the video, some simple edits have already been shown, but it is good to expand on your craft in order to help keep retention in videos. Some examples of design in videos, fonts. That should say compliment. But one of the biggest things is you want to make sure your stuff is legible. Notice how font is in bold there. It's also not in cursive, and it's not really round. Blocky font is a lot easier. It's good for people to see naturally, so you want to use that. Colors to create distinction. You don't want like high contrast, like cyan blue as your background and highlighter yellow. I mean, that is contrast, but people are not going to see what you're saying. Blurs, overlays, outlines, see how this is outlined there, or any other little elements to spice up the viewing experience. You don't want this all the time, but if you're making a point in the video, you want to make sure that you highlight that point. This is the most important section of the entire presentation, content. Good content may do one or multiple of these. Valuable to listeners' knowledge, answers a problem or question, or brings joy to the listener. So we approach our content as a question and answer ministry. So we're providing answers to Bible questions directly from listeners. So we've set up an email and we have released that email to the world. And we say, if you have a question, send it to us and we're going to make it our goal to give you an answer. And that worked back in 2021. Well, now that folder regularly stays at least 200 unanswered. And today I just answered my 1,800 email. And that tells me two things. Number one, that people really do have questions. And number two, that they're finding a place to ask them. That I think it's really hard. I think this only because it's proven to be true with the questions that are being sent. Pastors are not making themselves available. And what's unique about here at the Grace Conference is we're focusing on the significance of grace, how we can know that we have eternal life. 8 out of 10 pastors do not know themselves. And out of that, the two that do are either in a church where they can't teach it or they don't know how to communicate it to others. This is why I think you and I taking advantage of this platform to really flood it with clear content, not catchy stuff, you know, flashy for the sake of flashy, but something of substance. I think that's a good goal. Responding to false Bible teaching with answers. Creating engaging content that also brings joy to the listening experience. When I get on there and I record, it's not the same guy that's in the pulpit. It's not a different personality, but it's more relaxed. It's more conversational. I mean, down to the things that I wear a polo to make it seem a little more comfortable. If I come in there with a three-piece suit, to some people, they're going to go, he doesn't think homosexuals can get to heaven. And you say, well, that's not fair. Well, you got to remember, you're not dealing with 30 people in a church that chose to be there. You're basically street preaching. And so you want to make sure that you're marketing yourself as someone that can be heard easily and trusted as a source. Valuable to Bible study, church ministry, and spiritual growth.